It's B and E.
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and HornFM.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Tuesday right here on B&E. Appreciate you doing it each and every morning. Tell a friend. Share the news. It's B&E, show of the people. Lots to do today. Texas baseball, 1 o'clock with the Tennessee Volunteers. Diving into some of the pitching staffs of this right-hander, Blade Tidwell, who the Longhorns will face today in an elimination game. He's a freshman. 6'4", 200. He's won 7 of his last 8 starts in SEC play down the stretch and has been pretty good. He is gettable, though. He's not overpowering. He gave up 6 runs in a win at LSU in his final regular season start. You can get to him, but Tennessee scores a lot of runs, too, on the other side. That's where Tristan Stevens comes in for the Longhorns. He's got to be good today. And that game gets going about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Also talking B&E fact of the day. Buck, you have a guess. Jacob deGrom has gone past whom with another dominant performance to hold the record alone. 12 consecutive starts allowing 1 or 0 earned runs.
Randy Johnson.
It's a good guess. It's a good guess. Got to go further back, though. It's the great Bob Gibson.
Oh.
The great. That's how far back that record goes. 1968.
Way back yonder.
1968 for Jacob deGrom. How about his ERA right now? 12 starts this season, .50. .50 is his ERA.
And he's playing with a bad shoulder, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's unreal what that guy's doing right now.
And he plays for the Mets, which is even worse.
For the Mutts.
Yep.
Plays for the Mutts. Yeah, it was good. Some good baseball last night. Astros have pulled into first place alone with their win in Baltimore. And by the way, Baltimore is a bad-looking outfit. I know they're won just 22 or 23 games, and our former producer Adam Wagner is a big Orioles fan. I'm watching that game last night thinking, man, that's rough.
Yeah, they still suck.
That's rough to watch. They are not good. And, it's always sad because Camden Yard is such a great ballpark. That's a cool place to see a ball game, and they're just not good. They're not very good, my friend. But Bucky did win in poker last night. That's a good thing. Did you have to report this to the IRS or something? Was it that good of a night?
No, it was a good night. It was a good night. It was better than what I lost the week before. You know, the money just kind of circles around, and I haven't had it circulate my way in a while in the game of poker. By the way, in the game of golf either. So they're not very happy with what's going on with me mentally. As I get sharper with age, they're starting to dull out. Either they were starting to feel sorry for me, but I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that, young man. Be careful. Let that old snake come up there and bite you.
I think I've opined that before, that you and your Texas cheaters just kind of pass the same wad of money around. Somebody wins it. It never really changes.
But my expectations, once the mullet open is over with and my thought process goes to when I'm actually playing golf and I have that free mind and, you know, I can just play and not think about, damn, I got to make 5 phone calls after this and should I be playing today? Well, it's a different story. When your mind is clear and you play golf and you can really focus in on things, it's different. You know, you've played golf when you know you have something else you've got to do right after or whatever. You're rushing to play.
Well.
No, it's not going to go well.
Never does.
You know, but now, same thing in poker. There's no obstructions in my way right now.
Yeah, that's the great thing about golf. If you can close everything out and just get out there and enjoy yourself, it's a good getaway, right? It's a good getaway, but if you bring other extraneous things onto the course, it's going to
It's almost like, why are you actually out here playing if you're going to be like that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Answering your phone and working from the golf course. Sometimes you have to, I get it, but.
And when I was drinking, I could never really, really drink and play golf. I could never really get out there and just do my, well, then again, I guess not many people are out there slamming 3 or 4 shots of Jack Daniels while they play golf, you know?
Dude, but the dudes I play with out of Nenu Creek, they're taking like fireball shots every third hole.
Oh, okay. All right.
I guess they can.
And concentrate and get it done. No.
Fireball.
No.
I'm like, guys, it's like 11 in the morning. Fireball shot.
All right.
Now we go. That's funny for me because I'm either none at all, but then sometimes I need a little bit just to swing lubricant, you know?
Yeah.
Just to relax a little bit.
I had a problem with that a little bit. That little bit was always my problem.
Hey, let's get to some headlines, your trending topics. Let's get you going on a Tuesday. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And, yeah, College World Series Longhorns season on the line this afternoon. Elimination game with Tennessee. And as we've said, the Longhorns and Volunteers entered the College World Series as the top two remaining seeds left, number two and number three in the whole thing, but both lost on Sunday, so they're in the loser's bracket now. Texas was a 2-1 loser to Mississippi State. Tennessee fell to Virginia 6-0. So both teams are trying to get their offenses going, combined for one run in their losses. David Pearson, the Longhorns, will go with all Big 12 right-hander Tristan Stevens today. 11-game winner in the Big 12 and has been rock solid all year. Vols will hand the ball to freshman Blade Tidwell. 10-run 3 and 17 starts this season. First pitch set for just after 1 o'clock. You'll have a 12:45 pregame right here on the Horn and, of course, on the Horn app. Also in Omaha tonight, it's the winner's bracket game on that side. Mississippi State faces Virginia. Two games yesterday on the other side of the bracket. Stanford eliminated Arizona. They've gone home 14-5, the final there. And how about NC State, the story of the tournament so far? They're now 2-0 in Omaha. Remember, that's the team that took out Arkansas in the Super Regional round. Wolfpack have now gone 2-0, and they beat Vanderbilt in a great pitcher's duel last night, 1-0. Terrell Tatum's fifth-inning solo home run, the only score of the night in that pitcher's duel. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros have won 8 straight. They pounded over the Orioles 10-2. Jake Odorizzi, 5 hitless innings. Astros, as a matter of fact, held the Orioles without a hit into the 8th inning before they got their first knock. Only 2 on the night. Houston now leads the AL West by a game over Oakland, thanks to the Rangers, who ended a 6-game losing skid with an 8-3 win over the A's in Arlington last night. Also last night, big game of a series out west. San Diego Padres, top of the LA Dodgers 6-2. Yu Darvish, now 7-2. He struck out 11 over 6 excellent frames. Dell Diamond last night, Express top Oklahoma City in 11 innings, 4-3. Walk-off win there. NBA playoffs, no games last night, but game 2 tonight. Western Conference Finals, Phoenix and the LA Clippers. The Suns up 1-0. Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out as he continues to deal with that right knee sprain. The situation with Suns point guard Chris Paul still unresolved. He is listed as out for tonight as he remains in the league's COVID protocols. Also from the NBA, word yesterday that James Harden has committed to play for Team USA in the Tokyo Olympics, joining his teammate in Brooklyn, Kevin Durant. And word that Steph Curry of Golden State will not be participating with Team USA.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, there's you know, being in this business and being around athletes and football players and Heisman Trophy winners and star athletes that are in professional sports, I never got, like, in awe with anyone. I mean, there's two guys that I would definitely be in awe of. One is Gale Sayers, of course. I don't know what I'd do if I were ever in the presence of him before he died. And the other is, as a physical person, I saw Moses Malone coming through an airport, and he stopped right about where I was standing. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that big. I mean, that guy is the biggest thing I've ever seen. And I kept thinking, that dude plays basketball. That guy's a nimble basketball player, but he was just huge. But I'm still having the hardest thing. The other guy is Tom Brady. You know, I can't even imagine sitting down and having, you know, my lemonade, that guy having a beer. And I'd be like, you're Tom freaking Brady. You're seriously, we're going to talk. You know what I mean? But I don't understand how he is sharing the spotlight with Patrick Mahomes on the Madden deal. Why is that? Why isn't Tom Brady going, wait a minute, do you know who I am? I mean, it's one of those. I mean, is he just that kind of guy? Is he that the ultimate sports guy? Is Tom Brady the ultimate, you know, don't worry about the limelight. I got it. I got this wife. I got this life. I got these Super Bowl rings. But sharing the spotlight with Patrick Mahomes on that, I don't know if I could share that, dude, if I was Tom Brady. I would have to stand back and go, okay, either you put him on there or you put me. Why am I sharing this with you? How am I sharing the Madden cover? I'm the greatest quarterback ever to play the game, but I'm going to share this with a young guy who's won one Super Bowl. That's hard, is it not? I mean, is that just the ultimate I got no ego or whatever?
I didn't know. Has that been announced that it's going to share? That obviously makes sense. I hadn't heard that. But with the Madden cover with Brady, Mahomes, like, you can see where EA Sports is coming from. You know,
I'm not worried about them.
Well, I mean, I think that speaks to Tom Brady's greatness, right? I think his greatest quality, among a lot of great qualities that Tom Brady has, is that he ignores the uncontrollable.
I think he loves the game that much. I think he loves the game of football.
I think he's brilliant at, if I can't control it, who cares? Like, he can't control
it. Someone just said it right there, confidence. That's a confident person.
He's supremely confident in what he can do, but, you know, this, I don't know.
Unfazed. Look at all these words popping up.
Yeah, I mean, why do I care, I guess, would be the thing. I don't control what EA Sports does with the cover of their Madden cover, and if I want to raise a fit about it, that's just never been Tom Brady. I mean,
I mean,
but all these players that we've been around, all these players that we know, how many could do that if they were in that kind of stature? I don't know a lot of them that would not think, like I'm thinking, why am I sharing this with you? I mean, you're a young guy, but I love this game so much. You are going to be the future of this game. Maybe. Maybe not. You got one Super Bowl. Maybe you're not the future of this game. Maybe some other quarterback's the future. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't have to argue with Mahomes. To your question, it doesn't surprise me at all that Brady doesn't care at that point, right? Mm-hmm. That would just be my read of Tom Brady. But yeah, there are plenty of athletes that would bristle at it, and they would not be okay with it. Because
you think Aaron Rodgers would share that with you?
Well, I mean, I think that's where we're seeing the contrast of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady was summarily dumped by the New England Patriots after 20 unbelievable, historically great seasons. I mean, Tom Brady was not offered a contract by the New England Patriots to stay in New England. I think both sides realized time is up. We've run our course. But did you hear Tom, Giselle, his wife, made some statements about the handling of it. But Tom Brady never said a word about Bill Belichick. I guess my only read on that mentally is that if I can't control it, I'm not going to worry about it. Right? I'm going to control.
But you can control it. You can say, nah, that's all right. You put him on. He's the young guy. I mean, you could control part of it by saying, I'll let him be it. But you do still want me on it. You know what I'm saying, Zay? I mean, do you find that unusual for an athlete to do that in this day and age, for an athlete to share that, being the greatest that is still playing in your sport?
I can see where you're coming from, but the way EA Sports promoted it was, we got two goats, and they actually had the animals, like, in a barn, and they were like, yo, this is what two goats looks like. And then they showcased how both guys were on the cover. So if they came to him like that, it's hard to say no when you're calling the guy a goat. And they probably kept his pockets a little full too.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I never thought about the money. I never thought about the money, obviously, with Tom Brady, because that guy really doesn't seem to care about the money.
Well, yeah, and I think that speaks to me to the greatness of Tom Brady, his ability to control what he can control, not get overly emotional about things he can't, and just live in the now and deal with what's in front of him and take care of his business. I mean, that's the beauty of Tom Brady, and it leads to consistency. It leads to, we always hear he doesn't like to share reps at practice, right? It's practice in, practice out. What can I control? My preparation for this game. What can I control in the game? How I play and how I handle situations in the game. Tom Brady's, why is he so great at the end of ball games and, winning games late? It's just the calmness in which he plays. I think that speaks to Tom's ability to just not be emotional about things and just deal with the now, deal with what I can control. And, yeah, he probably could have called his agent and said, look, I'm not going to share the cover with this kid. But at some level, I do think Tom Brady respects the hell out of Patrick Mahomes and understands how great his start to his career has been. And, I don't know that it...
But that's why I say I think he just loves the game that much.
Sure, sure. But at the same time, I mean, people can say I'm pushing it out of into hyperbolic places, but I just don't... it's not an emotional thing. It's like, all right, cool, let's do it. Whereas a lot of athletes would say, LeBron James is not sharing the cover with Steph Curry, right? Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't.
Or Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, right? Because Kevin Durant, as great as he is, I think he's the best basketball player in the world right now, but he reacts to things very emotionally, a lot, and always has. That's his way of reacting, which is just his fingerprint. It's his DNA. It's who he is. Tom Brady's, reaction is, okay, well, let's be pragmatic about this, and I'll control it. I go all the way back to when he was at Michigan, and Lloyd Carr's making him share snare.
Yeah, he did learn pretty early about
share
that.
Snaps with Drew Henson. If you go back to Michigan, where we've talked about that a lot, that each guy got a quarter, and whoever played better in their quarter at Michigan, got to play the second half. I mean, that was Tom Brady's senior year of college, where he's having to earn his spot against a freshman, and Drew Henson, and you got Tom Brady. Again, I'm sure there was some emotion to it. I'm sure he didn't love it, but all he could do was go...
What he could control.
Control what I can control.
Correct. That was the coach telling him, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, and he couldn't control the coach's decision on that. Because if you remember, at Michigan, Drew Henson was this highly recruited freshman who was also a baseball player, and the threat was he was going to, if he doesn't get to play, he's going to go play baseball and we'll never play for Michigan and that kind of stuff. And, Brady typically earned the second half start, and Brady, they won the Orange Bowl that year.
That's right.
And, you know, Tom Brady had a great senior season through all of that. And, yeah.
I just find it interesting, that's all, that he's willing to do that, because that's the, you know, because we talk about him as the ultimate teammate. It's not about the money. It's about winning championships. And it's also about the game of football, how much he loves the game of football, to share that part of it.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah.
All right, B&E with you just after 7:15. Coach's Corner brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McCain, his great crew, helping you 30-plus years with your audiovisual needs, anything at your home. They do all the sports bars around Central Texas. They can certainly hook you up at your house like they have me and the Buck over there at avconsultations.com. All right, Coach, what is your message for David Pierce today? To his team today?
I think they need to be patient. I think this is that after what happened to him, you know, the last game, I think you have to go into that batter's box, and especially as a batter. And as we said, you had that kind of success all year long. I mean, these guys are good at what they do when it comes to bat. You have to score runs, and how do we get on base to score runs? Well, I think you just have to be patient. You can't swing for the fences, but you got to put the ball in play. And once again, it's easy to say put it in play, but you know, everybody's pretty good on defense. Everybody's at Omaha has pretty good defense, pretty good offense, pretty good pitching. But in particular, this group that David Pierce has, you've got to really make them make the plays. You know, this is a team with great speed. This is a team that can get on the bases. They can make it happen. I just think patience is really, really important. When your heart wants to go, when you want to get in that batter's box, you want to prove that I'm the way I have been all year. Well, you haven't faced guys like this all year. You face pretty good players in the Big 12, but nothing like you face at Omaha. Totally different.
Correct. And the pressure and the spotlight. Yeah. And you know, as we know, you just talked about Tom Brady. Can the clock slow down? Can the play slow down? Can you play your game? You know, you're playing a really good ball club. Heck, I mean, Tennessee's the second highest ranked team Texas has played this year. I mean, they're the third ranked team in this tournament. Texas did play Arkansas earlier this year and early in the year and lost that game. But this is a very, very good ball club. I mean, Tennessee's won 50 games. They're a 50-win team. And that's in the SEC. I mean, they saw some of the best competition out there, including Arkansas, including Mississippi State. And then, you know, we know what the SEC is all about in college baseball. And so, you know, they're going to come in same way. I mean, and by the way, Texas got, some would say, embarrassed by Mississippi State with the 21 strikeouts. But, you know, Texas went to the ninth inning and had, you know, the game-tying run at third base and had a runner on, a game-winning run potentially at first. And so they gave it a go. Tennessee was pretty hapless in their game against Virginia.
Right.
Tennessee, 6-0, really never threatened Virginia. Virginia was in control the whole night. And so both teams, a little bit humbled coming into this game. Both teams coming in with high expectations as the highest two seeds in the tournament. So I would think the message on both sides is very similar to, hey, you know, we need to get back to playing our game. And how did we?
Well, that's kind of the way I'm thinking. But I still think you have to have just a little bit more patience in what you do in this. And someone just sent us a text line that you don't need patience today. I think you do. I think everything that you do, it will be magnified because you're in the loser's bracket. Every bat, every pitch is going to mean something. And especially when you're in the loser's bracket. You know what I'm saying? I just think I think they're good enough. But if you listen to Longhorn fans, they got like 50 different things why they lost the game. It was almost like they got blown out. Like it wasn't, you know, like the pitcher for Texas didn't have 10 strikeouts. When you lose, you find 50 things that are totally wrong, not one or two things. And so that's why I said, just slow it down a little bit and do what you do.
Play your game.
Yeah.
And you know, I would say for both sides and certainly for Texas, the more you can do to put pressure on the opponent, the better your chances, because this is a pressure game. This is the season's
right.
Over after this game. So the more aggressive you can be, because I do agree with you that there's a fine line between the patience and the aggressiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a drag bunt to get a runner on, if it's something that is in the aggressive mode, trying to take an extra base,
absolutely,
you can't be careless. But at the same time, the more you can put,
the more I talk about that, I talk about at bat itself.
No, I know what you mean, but yeah. I'm saying you're facing a freshman right-hander who's had a good season. So and by the end of the year, 17 starts under his belt. He's not a freshman anymore, but he's a young player. He's never been in this spot. Texas is putting a fifth-year redshirt junior on the mound, and Tristan Stevens, who was part of the Texas roster when they were in Omaha the last time. He didn't go. He wasn't on the team, but he was part of the team on the roster. You know, you have an experienced pitcher against a freshman. If you're David Pierce, you know, starting with Mike Antico at the top, you need to be looking to put pressure on this young guy and make him pitch out of the stretch, get him out of his routine, and play your game unlike you did on Sunday night when you allowed Mississippi State just to dictate terms really until the ninth inning when you put
a rally
together.
Yeah, and tempo and everything else.
Yes. And to your coach's point and coach's corner, it's a fine line. I mean, it's a line between being too patient and, you know, relaxing too much, but you also want to force, because Tennessee's playing an elimination game too. You know, how do you force them to feel the pressure? How do you force them to feel you?
I'll just say they were out of character the other night. That was, you know, as you said, the young kids coming to the games now thinking home run and swinging the way they swing, the swing plane. But I thought that was out of character the way they played the other day.
Agreed.
Even though it was 2-0 and it was close and there's not much in between that. Dude, when you strike out 21 times, that's a lot of strikeouts.
Oh, yeah. You're outside of your norm. And you're getting dominated.
Nobody wanted to say that, but they basically were dominated.
Oh, no question. I mean, they were completely dominated. I think there were a lot of factors that led to the domination, but first and foremost, they got whipped for 8 innings of baseball. And that's something Texas has been good at this year, playing inning by inning. And as we said all week leading up to Sunday's game.
But I love the bounce back factor that you talk about, though.
Yeah, Texas typically does bounce back. But going into that game, Texas had trailed in one half inning of one game so far in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But we know Mississippi State was a big step up in class from what Texas had faced so far on their road to Omaha. So the bounce back comes today. 1 o'clock, Tristan Stevens against Blade Tidwell. Great name. We're on the hill for Tennessee. That game coming your way, 1 o'clock. All right, we'll come back when we do. Your thoughts on those conversations and more. We'll have more for you on a Tuesday, getting you ready for the Longhorn game at 1 o'clock today. Also have Isaiah Collier walking us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through a Tuesday program, live, local, and digital, streaming always on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Happy Tuesday, B&E with you. Happy cool front. We'll take it. Temperatures not as hot today. Yesterday was another steam bath. Today was that storms and line of storms that moved through late last night. How about the Round Rock Express? They got a walk-off hit in the 11th inning as the skies were threatening. They needed that knock out at the Dell Diamond, or they might have dealt with a rain delay. But they got the walk-off hit, win 4-3 in the 11th inning, and then the rains came. But that cools things off a little bit here today. Temperatures right now about 73 degrees. They won't get above 85, 86 degrees today.
How nice is that?
15 degrees cooler.
Is that a part of my almanac call? Mild summer?
Let me see.
Mild summer day?
For a day. Okay. Tomorrow we're back to 93.
I gotcha.
Thursday back to 97, 95, yeah. But then maybe a little cooler the following week. But I don't hold your Farmer's Almanac to like 100% accuracy, but it's been pretty close. You've been
so far so good.
Pretty on point.
Trailing the Third does not think that. He thinks I'm just still out there guessing. And he said, how can you say it's mild? I said, well, it's 93. Trey, it's almost July. We're in the 93s, and we get an 80 every once in a while, and we get some rain. So I'm going by the book. Zay, I'm going to get you the book. I want you to start studying the book.
The Farmer's Almanac.
Yes. I want you to learn how to become a farmer.
I had lunch with a fellow lettuce rancher and farmer yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. My friend Wes Murray owns Grande Equipment, and his top chief there is Britt Pierce, and he loves to grow tomatoes, and he's always wanted an avocado tree to grow.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, he's a interesting. He lives out in your neck of the woods dripping, but he's just about to sell his house.
Yeah.
Make
I've
a
got
pretty
it.
Penny.
Out of all the farming I do... and the ranching I do, I'm the worst tomato grower in the history of tomatoes.
I got to get you with Britt. You guys are similar age.
I'm terrible. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to make it happen. And I'll try everything. I've done anything from, you know, raised beds, all kinds of manures, everything else. I just know how to kill a tomato. Or I'll have a beautiful tomato plant with two tomatoes for the whole season. That's it.
It was kind of cool. I don't want to tell too much of Britt's story, but they're selling their house. And in a couple of years, he's going to retire, and they're moving to Costa Rica. Costa Rica.
Why is everybody going to Costa Rica? Must be fine there.
Oh, it's right at the equator. He said that you grow amazing things in Costa Rica.
Nice. Like being down in Houston. I go to see the beautiful plants down in Houston because it's so humid.
All right, so we got a lot going on. We're talking Texas baseball. Also, quick reminder, you know, the Austin FC, who played their home opener in that 0-0 draw on Sunday night, to the electric atmosphere that the Buck was a part of out at Q2 Stadium. It's a three-game week for Austin FC. They play Wednesday night in Minnesota, On the road. So they play Sunday, and they played Saturday night. Then they're going to play Wednesday night at Minnesota United FC.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll play Sunday again, their second home game with the Columbus Crew coming to town. There's a little rivalry there. But quick reminder, Wednesday, our afternoon show, RBKD, Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, Brad Kellner. They're going to be broadcasting live at the Austin FC Watch Party at Bolden Acres. Bolden Acres is on Lamar, South Lamar. Bolden Acres, South Lamar Boulevard. Well, they'll be there 3 to 7, and then they're going to have a watch party to watch the match. Austin FC v. the Minnesota United FC.
Make score, score a couple goals in Minnesota to come back here and score a couple.
A goal.
Or one.
Let's start with a goal.
Okay, a goal.
Kind of like Texas baseball. Let's start with a base runner.
Just keep shooting.
Let's get a base runner.
Got to keep shooting.
Let's go from there.
Hey, deflections count. Just like in hockey. A deflection counts. Got to shoot. Overpassing. Shoot the ball.
Well, get that ball in the net.
Yes.
And Texas baseball, get somebody on base. But that's Wednesday, 3 to 7 at Bolden Acres on South Lamar. Get all the details at hornfm.com. I'll join the boys out there for a little while on Wednesday as well to get ready for the Austin FC match. And, heck, there'll be college baseball going on, too, because mm-hmm. This College World Series stretches through the week. Longhorns hope to avoid 2 and barbecue today at 1 o'clock. That was the fate of Arizona last night. Arizona lost their first two games. They're coming home. Stanford beat them up pretty good. And as we said, story of the tournament now is NC State, because they upset Vanderbilt last night in that pitcher's duel. So they're in the winner's bracket. Longhorns want to stay alive today. All right, Buck. So we talked about the NCAA ruling at the Supreme Court level. We'll get back into that coming up at the top of the hour. What was the NCAA thinking? No, they did not have to take this all the way to the Supreme Court.
No, they didn't.
They took this there. They could have accepted the lower court's ruling, lived with a pretty minor result. Instead, they took it to the high court and got smacked. Pretty severely. We'll get you details on that coming up. But a lot of NBA. We know the Suns and Clippers play tonight. Game 2, Western Conference Finals. No Kawhi Leonard and still no Chris Paul. Zay, what's going on with Chris Paul? This story is does he have COVID? Doesn't he have COVID? Was he a close contact? I don't understand. It's such a vague story with Chris Paul and why he's not playing.
Yeah, he's got COVID, but
he does,
but he also has the vaccine. So I'm kind of like you. I don't know what the hell's going on.
So he got his first shot and didn't get a chance to get a second shot and got COVID.
No, he got both.
Both and got COVID. But
yeah, I mean, he's making TikTok videos with his kids, so he looks pretty healthy. I don't think he has any side effects. I think he just has the vid.
I don't understand the science of that you can get vaccinated and still catch COVID, but everything I've read says that you're not contagious at that point because you have the vaccination.
Right.
But
you got the vid.
But it's just the NBA rule. He's got to wait out the timeline, I guess.
I think he's got to go the full 14, doesn't he? What are we coming up on, about 8?
Yeah, I don't. Smarter people can explain that to me. That you get your two vaccines, you're covered, or you should be covered, and now you test positive, and you still aren't allowed to go play basketball. Obviously, these are pretty important games. This is Western Conference Finals.
It is Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's never been to the finals in his Hall of Fame career. Kind of a big deal.
I don't know. I'll lean more towards they look like they're going to get there anyway. Especially if Kawhi Leonard, if that knee is bothering him, you know, we watch Paul George lead this team for a couple games, but against this group seems like the team of destiny right now, the Suns.
Well, I could argue the Clippers because they fell 0-2 to the Mavericks, then won all the games in Dallas, and then won that great Game 7. They lost the first two games to Utah and turned around and won 4 straight to close out the top seed. So both teams are playing with some momentum, and I don't think, Zay, you can count out the Clippers at any point, even just because they lost Game 1. And remember, Game 1 came pretty close on the heels from that Game 7 win or Game 6 win that they had over Utah.
Yeah, I thought on Sunday they were pretty fatigued since they just got done playing a heated game against the Jazz in Game 6 without Kawhi. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. But, yeah, I'm kind of thinking this Suns team is just – way too good. Like right before the series started, they were taking advantage of Rudy Gobert by just bringing them out and using their small ball lineup, that's how they beat the Dallas Mavericks too. With DeAndre Ayton, he can move out there, man. He has really good feet and really good laterally. So this is a different matchup than they've seen. And obviously with no Kawhi, it'll be tough to keep up this type of, you know, momentum.
I got to believe, especially if they go down, you know, 2-0, that's the real problem then. Having to beat them four times?
Well, yeah, and Phoenix is really good. I'm just going to say there's a lot of resiliency to that Clippers team right now. Now, can Kawhi Leonard come back? Is he going to plan to come back, or is he being precautious with that, or taking cautions with that knee? How severe is it? That also is kind of a vague story without a lot of, how hurt is he?
It's always vague with Kawhi.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. How bad is it? Is it a sprain? Is it a problem? Can he come back? I mean, if they were to get to the finals, could Kawhi Leonard come back? So we'll see. Also, Eastern Conference, we know Bucks and Hawks. Did anybody have a better weekend than the Bucks? The Bucks survived the Game 7 with Kevin Durant and company. Kevin Durant playing on fumes. But, I mean, think about this for the Milwaukee Bucks. They were a toe away. If Kevin Durant's turnaround three is actually a three and his big-ass toe's not on the line, as Kevin Durant said, that series is over. Brooklyn advances and the Bucks are out, and it would have been a hugely disappointing end to another, another Bucks season. Instead, they survive. They win in overtime, and now not only do they get to keep playing, they get the Hawks, and they're the home team.
I know.
They're the higher seed. They don't have to play your 76ers. That's a gift, and so the Bucks have a good look at it now. At least get to the finals. And here is the first line of a story that I think could only come from the current NBA. So Ben Simmons, right? Ben Simmons is the point guard, 6'11". He's been in the NBA. He was the first pick of the draft in 2016, so he's been around a little bit. Here's the first line of this story from ESPN, referring to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons will spend the offseason improving his shooting stroke. Ben Simmons plans to spend this offseason working on his shooting stroke and may actually change hands to do so. I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, I yesterday's news about Doc Rivers saying we're going to spend our time making sure this guy can shoot. I'm thinking, damn, coach.
They have a plan.
What the hell?
Well, if Doc Rivers comes in and says, okay, I have a plan now, what was the previous coach doing? Did the previous coach not have a plan for Ben Simmons and his offensive improvement?
I don't know what Doc was looking at during practice during the course of his first year or whatever. I know you get thrown right in and you start, hey, he's something. He really can bring the ball up court. About what time do you notice that dude is not taking shots? He can't hit free throws. And in the fourth quarter, he doesn't want to take a shot. I mean, when you're Doc and you've been there for a year, shouldn't the plan have been during the year sometime to let's go out back? I don't know. I guess maybe it's more difficult. Maybe is it more difficult than I think it is? I don't know.
I love your visual of out back. Like they have like a training facility with a lot of basketball hoops. Like they got a bunch of them. They don't have to go out back.
They don't?
No.
They don't have to go in the driveway?
No.
They don't need the peach basket?
They can go to the facility and shoot free throws all day. And he can choose any of probably 10 baskets that he can shoot on. If he'd like to.
I don't know, because whatever he does in the modern times, it doesn't work. Why don't you just take his ass out back or to the playground or something? I mean, come on now.
I will raise my hand and say I did not watch a lot of Philadelphia 76ers games during the regular season. Is it fair to say, Isaiah, that he was better this year? He had gotten somewhat better, but then the magnitude and the pressure of the playoffs, which he's never been here before, reverted to some old habits and got to him mentally?
Well, they were there. Like, they were a few bounces away for going to the finals when Kawhi beat him in Toronto. So
yeah, but
he's been there.
The one behind the basket shot, right?
Yeah, the behind the basket shot. So he's been there before. It's just they had Jimmy Butler alongside with him. So he, took away a lot of those holes that Ben Simmons has. But yeah, first thing you need to do is fire whichever shooting coach that you've had. Fire him.
Somebody needs
spot.
To go. Yeah, okay.
Fire
I'm good
him
with
on
that.
The spot.
Yeah, I'm assuming they have one. Yeah, he should be fired.
Yeah, he has a personal one, too. Trainers, everybody on his camp, fire him.
How about the Lakers firing their workout guy because a bunch of dudes got hurt? How about this guy?
Who, the trainer?
He got fired. They fired the workout guy.
Oh, the strength conditioning coach?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what did that guy do? Because LeBron and Anthony Davis are beat up, and they've been in the bubble, and they're older players. That guy walked in on a Monday and said, guess what? These guys can't stay healthy. You're gone. I'm like, what the? What is that?
This guy says in 2018, Ben Simmons shot 70% from the foul line. Then he dated
what?
Kyler Jenner. I don't think it was Kyler. It's Kylie.
Kendall.
Kendall, Kyler. Is it Kyler Murray? Kendall Jenner?
Kendall Jenner, the one that's with Devin Booker, who dropped a 40-point triple-double the other night.
40-point. And so he shot 70% from the floor a couple years ago.
Man. They got the voodoo in the you-know-what-do. I mean, come on.
The voodoo in the hoodoo.
Yeah, I mean, hey come now. On now.
Absolutely.
He shot 70% from the free throw line.
Yeah, I mean, again, this series, I think it was a lot of mental. I think he just lost it. Kind of like Bryson DeChambeau on the back nine at the U.S. Open. It fell apart, and it was on a big stage, and I think Zay's right that, you know, back
I really can't pay you $35 million to have mental problems.
True.
I really can't. It's somebody else will take those shots.
Oh, clearly. But I again,
somebody would love to take those shots.
He's never been a superstar offensive player, but he's never been this bad. I mean, that's where the between the ears stuff comes to the front. And we saw it in the fourth quarter of Game 7. He wanted no part of the basketball. It was like a hot potato.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not a great defensive player. He's a really good defensive player. But I watched in that series, he got lit. He got kind of lit up by the little guy from Norman at times. Little guy can school you, Zay. Are you still surprised at what he's doing right now? How about the Hawks? Nobody's giving them a chance against
only thing I'm
the
surprised
Bucks, right?
about is how is Norman, Oklahoma producing good NBA basketball players? That's the only thing I'm surprised about.
This is true. All right, there are some hoops. It's Clippers Suns tonight. Kawhi won't play. Chris Paul will be watching as well. We'll recap those games in the morning. Let's come back when Isaiah Collier, he'll lead us through the topics we've missed halfway through the show. Also back to Texas baseball at the top of the hour. Longhorn season on the line this afternoon in an elimination game. And yes, the NCAA got smacked pretty good by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. Details coming.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Pretty big day for college football in Dallas today, as the proposal to expand the college football playoff from four teams to 12 will be presented in Dallas today to 11 university presidents and chancellors. It is the first step towards possible full ratification of the plan. That will happen today in Dallas, and then there's a wider meeting of the powers of college athletics and college football presidents and chancellors in July in Chicago. But today's a big step forward, as the proposal that was written by Bob Bowlesby of the Big 12, Greg Sankey of the SEC, Craig Thompson of the Mountain West Conference, and Jack Swarbrick, the AD at Notre Dame, they've written this proposal. It'll be presented to 11 presidents and chancellors today, and we'll see. We'll see where that goes. Does it get rubber stamped and move forward? If it does, it would be on its way to a full vote in July.
And possibly in 2022?
Three.
It's not going to happen next year.
No, I don't think so. Who knows? I mean, I don't believe so, but if it gets enough approval, then why not say, well, you know.
Yeah, why can't it go? That's what I was
saying. Because then the TV partners, you'd have to rip up some current contracts, but the TV partners say, okay, we're getting 11 games, not
we're going to get more.
We're getting 11 big games and more important games in the month of November and into December. Yeah, we're in on that. Let's get together.
We'll rip this thing up and start again.
But I would guess that 2023 is as soon as they get this thing on the board. But that's where it's headed, with the six highest-ranked conference champions, six at-large teams, and talked about it a lot yesterday, but that will happen today in Dallas. Isaiah Collier is our producer, and then he walks us through a topic or two that we've missed, haven't mentioned halfway through the show. Zay, what do you have, my friend?
Thanks, E. So this Friday, a new episode of The Shop comes out, and if you do not know what The Shop is, that's the HBO show created by LeBron James and his sidekick.
LeBron
with his sidekick Maverick Carter, where basically they just chop it up, a whole bunch of celebrities and athletes just talk about current events and things going on in their lives. And in this week's episode, it has Tom Brady, Draymond Green, Chelsea Handler, Kid Covey, and Paul Rivera, which is another creator of The Shop. And Tom Brady says one of the teams that was not interested in him during his free agency after he left New England to go to Tampa Bay, he said they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother blank.
No!
We dropped the F. And I think we all know who he was talking about there, do we not?
Well, the teams that people are saying are Raiders, Niners, Chargers, Bears, Titans. All those teams were in the running to get Tampa Brady.
Yeah, he's talking about the Raiders. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about Vegas. I'm saying yes.
I think he's talking about the 49ers because I think that's where he wanted to go. And I think he's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. He said, really, you're going to keep that mother blanker over me? And you know, proving that it's typical for Tom Brady, prophetic a year later when the, you know, the 49ers traded up to draft Trey Lance because they're not happy with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, in hindsight, if you look at it, what was San Francisco thinking? If San Francisco could have added Tom Brady, now they had a, you know, a pretty good team this year, but Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt again this year. I don't know. I would assume, because remember, Garoppolo was at the center of the rift that was going on in New England with Bill Belichick and Garoppolo and Robert Kraft and all of that. So if he's going to have any animosity towards a quarterback, and of course he's from San Francisco, right? He's from Northern California, Tom Brady. And if you go back to the stories at the time when he was going to sign, it was really down to San Francisco and John Lynch.
Yeah, and Tom Brady wasn't taking just every team that he'd have been on last year to the Super Bowl. He would have taken, the 49ers weren't going to the Super Bowl even with Tom Brady last year.
No, he made the right choice.
No, he made a great choice.
But it didn't sound like it was his choice in San Francisco. That San Francisco said, you know what, we're going to stick with Jimmy G. And he said, you're keeping
that's a
that
bad, that's a bad maneuver.
Adios, what is it, Governor
adios,
Perry once said?
Bye-bye. I'll go with Tampa. By the way, I'll be repeating again this year.
I'll take that bet. I'm in on that bet.
I will be repeating again.
I am in on that bet. Yeah, I did see that the shop. They sit around the barbershop and talk. Tom Brady's in that, talking with Maverick Carter and all those guys.
No LeBron, though. LeBron's not in this episode.
He's doing Space Jams. He's on tour with Space Jams 2. Is that deal out yet?
And I've seen some of the audio. I've seen some, they did a little, you know, preview snippet of it, and you hear him say, "You're sticking with that MF-er?" You know, and it's like you can tell he was like, "Really, John Lynch? Really? I'm here for you, man. I'm here for you. You're going to stick with him?
Wow.
What are you doing?" Oh yeah, but he made the right call. Tampa's happy. They won the Super Bowl. Because I think you're right. I don't think they win the Super Bowl in San Francisco last year.
No, too many guys hurt.
Too many guys hurt?
Yes.
But, you know, Tom Brady effect is real.
It is.
Now proven. We'll come back. When we do, we will reset those headlines, including the Longhorns facing elimination. They're going to face a really quality freshman right-hander today. We'll get you details on the opponent. Also, the NCAA summarily smacked by the high court yesterday. Details coming. What does it mean for the future of the NCAA and college athletics? All that part of a Tuesday, live, local, and digital streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.